Welcome to Book by Book, a podcast from independent children's publisher Sambasavan and Purik. I'm your host, Leanne, the publishing coordinator for SMP. On this podcast, we feature bite-sized interviews with people from the world of children's books. This episode will be in two parts. I had such a great conversation with bookseller and English teacher Jonathan Pope that I didn't want to cut too much of it out. I felt like especially our conversation around censorship was really important, but I also wanted to keep the episode short and bite-sized, as is our promise here on Book by Book. So during this episode, part one, Jonathan and I talk about how indie bookstores choose their books, what kind of reviews he takes into consideration when choosing his books. I also ask him about diversity in the publishing industry, especially in children's literature, and what he wishes there was more of. After that conversation, we shifted gears and Jonathan let me ask him about censorship and what's it like being an English teacher at a public school when school libraries and books are under a microscope right now. That will be in part two, so be sure to look out for that in your podcast feed. My guest, Jonathan Pope, is a high school English teacher and part-time children's bookseller at Prologue Bookshop. Jonathan's passion for literature, representation, and equity in literary spaces led him to create a YouTube channel during the COVID-19 pandemic. This is called To Be Black and Loved, and he offers book reviews, book suggestions, and book discussions. Many opportunities have come from this venture, such as moderating a panel at the first annual Black Readers Con titled We Are Unapologetic with young adult author Kaylin Bayron, co-hosting book discussions with blogger Julesy's Smart Brown Girl Book Club, and running two book clubs of his own called the Black and Loved Book Club at Prologue Bookshop and the Brothers in Unity Book Club. Prologue Bookshop opened in Columbus, Ohio in 2018 and specializes in the latest fiction, nonfiction, children's, and YA books. Prologue also features literary cards, gifts, toys, games, and puzzles for all ages. I can attest it's one of our city's best indie bookstores. All right. Hi, Jonathan. Welcome to Book by Book. It's good to have you here.
It's great to be here. I'm excited. Well, my name is Jonathan. I am a full-time high school English teacher here in Columbus, Ohio, and also a part-time children's bookseller at Prologue Bookshop, where I specialize in curating the children's book selection and kind of seeing the trends and what I think that young people should be reading and would like to read.
So Jonathan and I are in the same city, Columbus, Ohio. Prologue is one of my personal favorite bookshops in the city. So I'm very excited to have you here. You also have a YouTube channel, is that right?
Yeah, I have a YouTube channel called To Be Black and Loved, where I focus on reviewing books by Black authors.
And we will definitely, I want to hear about that a little bit later. But first, so the reason that I reached out to you was because Sambasavan and Purik were an independent publisher. And as we work with authors, as we work, you know, getting our books into bookstores, into libraries, it seems like there's a black hole when it comes to knowledge around how to get your book from, you know, okay, I wrote the book, I'm an author and I wrote my book and I love it. And now I'm, you know, one of the lucky, you know, percentage that actually gets it published. And then there's just this knowledge gap of how do we get it into an indie bookstore? And so can you talk a little bit about that process and how you find the books that you want to put in your store?
Well, one of the huge things is I just pay attention to what I see online. I follow a lot of young adult authors. Young adult authors will follow me, and then I'll see the covers of their books, and I'm like, "Oh, this looks interesting." And we'll look through catalogs, and we'll look through social media, and especially a Prologue Bookshop. The owner Dan and our manager Gary, they really listen to me when it comes to, "Oh, I saw this online. This sounds interesting. This sounds like something that we should bring in." And then they'll just bring in the book.
That's amazing.
So it's kind of just simple like that. Just making sure that it's something that bookstores, especially indie bookstores, see.
Okay. And that's so Prologue, the shop itself it's, you know, we're talking, I don't know, how big is it? Like, how would you describe the size or like the shelf space?
We have a smaller area, especially when it comes to like children's and young adult books. We don't have a ton of room, but we love to pack the shelves.
Yeah.
But it is like a smaller, more closely curated space.
That's kind of what I wanted to ask about was when you're curating your space, what do you look out for? Because I assume that you're trying to balance what's going to sell with your kind of vision for the space. Can you talk a little bit about how you balance those two things?
While we definitely do look at the numbers of like what is sort of selling well, what seems like it's popular. At the same time, we sort of have a different audience at Prologue Bookshop. Okay. The people that come into our store, they don't necessarily always look at, oh, this is like a New York Times bestseller. A lot of the times, and since you've been in, you've seen our shelf talkers, mm-hmm. a lot of mm-hmm. our customers, they come in and they want to hear what our booksellers are reading. They want to hear what we think is interesting, what our recommendations are. So we rely heavily on, okay, we've gotten in a set of ARCs and our booksellers have read this book and we really have enjoyed this and we want to bring it in because we think that this is something that customers will really enjoy. It's something, it's a little bit more niche. It's something that yeah. you're not going to find in a Barnes and Nobles or an Amazon.
It's very cool because, so Columbus is very lucky. We have a lot, well, I mean, a handful of independent bookstores, which is unusual. And I think each one has an individual identity. And so I definitely go to Prologue and I think, okay, they're going to have stuff that is obviously new or, you know, but that I maybe haven't heard of on these bestseller lists, you know, where it's the same 30 books. And that doesn't mean those books aren't good. But, you know, I do think that like your shelf talkers really highlight some stuff that I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I haven't heard of that one yet. When you had mentioned, you know, bringing in ARCs, something that authors and publishers alike, especially independent publishers, there's a lot of stress and worry about getting their books reviewed by the big, I don't know how many there are, but like 6 or 7 review publications like Kirkus, Booklist, Forward, Bookpage. Do you use those? What's your favorite one? How much do you rely on, you know, a Kirkus review?
You know, I look at reviews. I will say that I'm also one, I'm the type of person where a lot of the times I disagree with reviews. Okay. I'm a very opinionated reader. I yeah. like what I like a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So I think that we look at the reviews, but we also like read it for ourselves and we're like, okay, this is something that we've enjoyed. I don't rely on reviews as much. I do look at the names. A lot of the time, like the blurbs, especially when it comes from authors that I really enjoy. If I see like Hanif Abdurraqib has a blurb on a book, I'm like, I'm going to read this.
He could blurb a cereal box. If he blurbed a cereal box, I would buy it. Are you kidding me? Like, okay, that's fair enough. Okay, so that's interesting. So you do look at blurbs also kind of on this track. When you're thinking of buying books for your shelf, are you limited in any way in terms of if they've been traditionally published or self-published? How does that play into the conversation you're having with your team and yourself when you're buying?
I would say it's one of those things where when it comes to publishing, we try to steer away from anything that's published by Amazon. But it definitely depends on availability because when we're ordering things in, it is a little bit harder to get certain things that are published by certain indie publishers in.
And by availability, do you mean availability through your distributor?
Yeah. So what we can actually order in through Ingram, it might take, you know, a little bit longer, you know, like a month, 2 months to get in a book. We try to bring in books from like across the realm of publishers.
That's great.
You know, whether that's an academic publisher, whether it's an indie publisher, whether it's one of the larger publishers. Yeah. We try to have like a diverse selection when it comes to that.
Do you feel like, and I'm asking you to speak on, you know, the entire book industry. Do you think that Prologue is unique? Do you think that this is a trait that many indie bookstores share, that they'd be willing to kind of go on the spectrum of publishing? Or do you think that's like Prologue is an outlier in that case?
I think that there are a lot more indie bookstores popping up that's their goal. I think that that's a direction that people are more willing to go into, like taking a risk on books that are being independently published and allowing like independent local authors to bring in their books. Like we do have our like consignment policy and, you know, like, you know, just people that have published their book to just bring a couple of copies in, sitting them on the shelves and kind of just seeing how they do.
Oh, that's so interesting. I didn't know that there was a consignment policy at the bookstore. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. We in our local section. And it's something that, you know, during the pandemic, it was a little bit rough. It was a little rough. But yeah, we always love authors coming in, you know, local authors mm-hmm. that have published their book, having an opportunity to try to sell it on our shelves.
That's really okay. That's really good to know. All right, so shifting a little bit into talking about diversity in children's books in particular, there were some statistics from Lee and Lowe, an independent publisher, published a few years ago about the stunning lack of diversity in children's books. And it seems like there has been so much discourse around getting diversity into children's books, making children's books inclusive. Over the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, probably a decade. What have you seen in your job purchasing, looking at all these books, reading all these books? What have you seen in the marketplace when we think about diversity in children's books? And where do you hope that it goes? You have 30 seconds. I'm just kidding.
Ooh, this is one of those topics that I talk about this a lot, like on my YouTube channel, and oh, yeah. I rant about it. I rant
yes,
about it at
do.
Work. So I think that there has, you know, in recent years, you know, with a variety of different events that have happened over the past couple of years, you know, we can roll down the mm-hmm. list. Publishing has tried to, in a way, improve.
It's more like what you're not saying.
they've tried to tackle the issue in a way. And we've seen, and you can even like see the trends. I think it was like the New York Times that published that chart that showed like the book buying, like the diverse book buying, like over the course of the pandemic and different things like that.
Okay. And the chart showed that it went up.
It like went up. It peaked 2019, 2020, and then it started just going down. And so you had the publishing industry, they started buying a ton of books by authors of color and diverse authors to attempt to sort of like tackle this issue. But then you have the issue of whether or not people are actually buying those books. Mm. And then you have the issue of, are we actually getting like a wide array of books that are different? And so I uh-huh. think that a lot of publishers have attached themselves to a certain, or are relying on a certain type of book to sell, like diverse book to sell.
Okay.
And so that sort of, there's not as many stories being told as there could be.
Can you maybe expand a little bit on what you mean by the type of diverse book that they have seemed to gravitate toward?
There are a lot of the diverse books that I see being marketed are kind of all about the same thing.
Mm.
You know, like you have all of the magic private school books, and they all have similar titles, and they all kind of have like a very similar plot line. And they all just kind of, and all of their main characters are just like a variety of different people of color.
I see. I'm sorry. By magic private school, you mean that is not the name of a series. You're talking about like,
oh, no.
As a genre, the magic
yeah.
school genre. Okay. I see.
Yeah. That's sort of like child finds out that they have magical powers, goes to
school. Got it.
Sort of books.
Okay.
Yeah. And so like, we've got a ton of those books. That's what they're like, okay, this is going to sell. So you've got like a million people trying to market that type of book.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, there are a variety of other authors that are trying to get their stories told, and they may not get a chance because at the end of the day, you know, publishing is relying on what's going to sell. They're relying on those trends.
Mm-hmm.
While it does help a lot of authors of color and queer authors, it does sort of land a lot of other authors in a sort of tricky place where they mm-hmm. can't get their books published because now they're not necessarily on trend.
It feels so huge and nuanced and complicated, but then at the end of the day, I just don't think that it is at all, because it's just like, it's so hard to get your book published. The industry is so gated. It just feels like, yeah, there's so much gatekeeping still around the type of stories. You explained that very well. That being said, are you hopeful at all when you look at children's books? You know, the children's books that you're bringing into Prologue and picture books especially. I think the Lee and Low statistics that I had referenced were about picture books, because I remember one statistic that really stuck out to me was that there were, you know, the percentage of animals in picture books was so much higher than any person of color in any of these books. And so are you hopeful? I don't know what I'm trying to ask, I guess. Like, where do you see the future going now that we're 4 or 5 years out from kind of that peak of like, oh, wow, we need to be more diverse in the industry?
I am hopeful because I see all of these, like, all of these authors that are out there. I see them on Twitter tweeting about their books, and yeah. You know, we have had the opportunity to bring a lot of new diverse books into the bookstore, you know, children's books with, you know, same gender loving couples like on the mm-hmm. cover, you know,
yeah.
Or children's books about like queer kids, children's books about, you know, children of color. And it's a beautiful thing to see when I'm able to kind of like display these and put
yes.
them out there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we will see like families come in and they'll look at the books and they'll be like, oh, wow, I can't believe that there's a bookstore that has these books on their shelves. And I
yeah.
want to get these for my children or my niece and my nephew. And so I think that I have hope that there are like independent bookstores that are promoting these books to their audience.
It does make a huge difference that your shop, at least, and it sounds like a lot of independent bookstores, especially in the recent years, are taking the effort to find books that aren't, you know, on the front page of the New York Times. Our books, for example, you know, Sambasivan and Perk's books, Ritu Weds Chanadi is a story about two Indian women who get married. And it, when I first saw this book, I cried. Those books don't necessarily make it, you know, to the front page of the New York Times just because of how the industry is set up. So it does make a huge difference that they might be able to find that book in a bookstore like yours. Okay, so what books, do you have any off the top of your head when you're thinking about the type of books that you want to see more of, that if you could, you know, have a telephone directly to the publishers, are there any, if you have specific titles you want to share or the type of books that you wish you saw more of in terms of like story?
Ooh, one of my favorites, there are two children's books that like have really stuck with me for a while, picture books. Julian is a Mermaid.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely like love that book. And it was yeah. one of those books where it was so beautifully illustrated, but also the story of this little boy who like sees all of these women in dresses and is like mm-hmm. talking to his grandmother about like, oh, how beautiful these women look. And then winds up like wrapping like a towel around himself and is like, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh,
yeah.
this is me. Like books like that, where kids will be able to see themselves and sort of identify with that story.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of like those stories of like acceptance. And there's another book, When Langston Dances. It's about a young boy who is sort of, he's sort of exposed to Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater and realizes just how much he loves ballet. And it's a young black boy. And that was a book that I really identified with, because I remember when I was a young kid and the first time I saw a professional dance performance was watching Alvin Ailey perform. And
oh, wow.
So like those sort of books where it's positive, kids are able to be inspired by these stories, because I think that there needs to be like a certain level of like joy in children's books. I remember I've ranted about this to other booksellers many times about that. A lot of books have been very trauma heavy, and you know, there is definitely a place for those stories. But I've seen a lot of young adult, middle grade, children's books that are very sad.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I think that they're, you know, especially when you have books that are talking about like issues of like grief and different mm-hmm. things like that, there's a place for those stories. But when, you know, kids kind of want to read happy stories too. I want kids to feel inspired. I want kids to be happy.
Right. Really sad, traumatic YA has always been, there's always been a place for that in YA. I even remember like in high school, I was thinking, yeah, there was like this book about a football player who got in a car accident that was like, or a basketball player or something. I don't know. We had to read it for school and it was just like, oh God, this is so sad. But I think my high school experience and my middle school experience was a lot more fun than what kids are going through right now. And so
kids have to deal with a lot. Yeah. And I think that that's definitely reflected in the content that a lot of young adult authors and middle grade authors are trying to tackle in their books. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the shelves, like when I'm trying to like select books to bring into the bookstore, and I'll be sitting there at the counter talking to one of my coworkers, and you're scrolling through and it's like in every single young adult book, the parent has died.
Oh God.
Like, I'm like, why are we offing parents in every single.
It's like Disney. It's like Disney in the 90s. Yeah. Nobody had a parent.
Every single book. And I was actually talking to one of my friends who has two young children, and I had recommended a couple of books to him, and he had started reading them with his kids. And he's just like, all of these books are kind of sad. Like, they're good books.
Yeah.
But they're just very sad.
Yeah. So. And I do wonder, too, you know, the tolerance, you know, the older you get, the closer you are to death or whatever. And so you just feel mortality a lot harder, I think. And we, like, I know I take stories so much more to heart. You know, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that like kids are reading this. This is really scary, or this is really, you know, really dark. And then, you know, kids are just flying through these books like, yeah, this is great. Like, you know, adults are horrible. And so, but still, I definitely know what you mean. I honestly, if you're not talking like fantasy or, you know, magic school, that adventure, that type of thing, I don't know that I've personally read a YA book recently that wasn't, you know, the main theme was some sort of trauma or generational trauma that all of them are working through and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's definitely what a lot of them are about.
So maybe like some more comedy. Get some yeah. fun comedy for the teens out there. Again, I'm your host, Leanne, and I'm the publishing coordinator at Sambasivan and Purik Publishing, talking with my guest, Jonathan Pope, who is a bookseller at Prologue Bookshop and a high school English teacher. Don't forget to check back for part two of my conversation with Jonathan, where we discuss the hot button issue of censorship in schools, and he shares what he's reading right now. You can find Jonathan on Instagram and Twitter at Be Black, Be Loved. And again, his YouTube channel is To Be Black and Loved. You can find Sambasivan and Purik on Instagram at Sambasivan and Purik and online at www.sambasivanandpurik.com. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for future episodes, or just want to say hi, email me, Leanne, at Leanne, L-E-A-N-N, at modernmarigoldbooks.com. Thanks for listening.